king by God. However, physically, he was still just a boy tending to his father's sheep. And but God had already anointed him king, and how that he went forward to face Goliath. And he made the statement before that when everyone was afraid and everybody was worried and everybody was trying to figure out what they were going to do with Goliath and the Philistines, and he made the statement, "Is there not a cause?" And we talked about how that the thing that David gave him courage, and the thing that gave him the strength to do and gave him the ability to ultimately defeat Goliath and then ultimately become king of Israel, is that faith in who he was and who God was. And he says, "I come in the name of the Lord." And as a representative, when you come in the name of the Lord, you come as a representative of the Lord. You come in his power, in his might. And that's how David was able to do the things that he did. And we looked at that, and we looked at how that also corresponded to Paul, and how in Philippians, turn over to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." In other words, there's something that the resurrection of the dead there in verse 11 is the context, and Paul was not yet physically where he ultimately will be. In glory, in Christ. But notice he hadn't attained it yet. Okay? But notice, verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or made complete in just like David, even though he was already named as king of Israel, physically he was still the boy tending to his father's sheep." Paul here, same thing. Paul, there were promises of God, the resurrection of the dead, the new body that he talks about later on in this chapter. He's not attained that yet. He's not reached that, but it's still his. It's still him. Okay? So notice what he says here. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended," in other words, he's not there yet, "but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything else be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you." He presses toward that mark. He keeps that in his mind. He keeps that who he is in Christ in his mind, and that allows him to do the things that he does. And so we looked at that. We looked at in 2 Timothy. Look over in 2 Timothy in chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he's trying to get this same idea into Timothy here. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 6, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So you see the, and then you keep on this whole thing in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 2 is ingraining that we're called according to His purpose, His cause. There's a cause, and that cause, it should be in our forefront. There are some things about us that God has said about us that are true that we can't see right now. We live in a physical world, but there's some things that are true that God sees us as, and we are to live our life in that mindset. There's a plan, there's a purpose, and I want to look at that. Why? About this purpose. Turn to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1. There was the whole idea of religion. Now, when I talk about religion, I'm not talking about any particular religion. I'm just talking about the concept of religion. The concept of religion and the reason that man needs some sort of something to believe, okay, has to do with answering the question, what's it all about? Why are we here? What's the purpose? You know, people who are agnostic or who claim to not believe in God, even though I believe that they do, they don't have any answers to that question. They just believe that some big explosion happened in the universe and everything just kind of fell into place, and now here we are. But man, God, there's something instilled in man that seeks out the question, why we're here? What's the purpose? Why am I here? And man sets up religion to answer that question. Now, God has the answer to that question in His Word. But man doesn't want to see God's Word necessarily. He wants to have all the questions answered. But if we look in God's Word, we can find those answers, and they're God's answers. God has a purpose. He has a plan. There is a reason why we're here, and it's not just to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. There's a purpose for being here. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice verse 9, starting in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. There is a purpose here, and it has to do with bringing all things together in Christ, both which are in heaven and that which is on the earth. Bringing everything in Christ, in Him. And Paul says, in whom you have obtained an inheritance. Now, what most people in Christianity do is they don't distinguish between heaven and earth and the promises and the different inheritances. We have obtained an inheritance in this heaven and earth. And our purpose, where is it? Where's our part? Well, let's just look at some things here. And let's look at what the Bible says. We're here in chapter 1, so let's just stay here. First off, notice verse, let's go back up to verse 3. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Notice the choosing here, and the blessings, the spiritual blessings, are where? They're in heavenly places. The word blessing there, spiritual blessing in heavenly places, the word blessing has to do with something that's spoken. The Greek word is eulogia, which is where we get our word eulogy. And at a funeral, when somebody eulogizes somebody at a funeral, they say things about them. And hopefully they're good things. But they say things about the person. They eulogize them. Well, there are some things that are spoken about us, some blessings, some spiritual blessings. Not physical, spiritual. You can't see them. We walk by faith, not by sight. There's some spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All of them, but it's heavenly places. Notice on in chapter 1. Notice verse... Let's go verse 17 in chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, Paul just said in verse 11, in whom we have received an inheritance, right? So now Paul is saying, my prayer for you is for you to know what the hope of your calling is. What to know what it is and what is your inheritance. So as we continue to read, let's see if we know what it is. Again, in the last part of verse 18, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. In other words, when Jesus Christ died, and then He was resurrected, He died and was buried, and when He was resurrected, and now up here in, He's at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Where's our spiritual blessings? Heavenly places, right? Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now notice verse 22, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The church, which is His body. Well, what about this church? He ascended, and He's in heavenly places. He's up there right now. And He gave all things to the church, which is His body, which filleth all things. Now, look over in chapter 4. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, that's here, when he ascended up, he talked about it in chapter 1, we just read, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is that but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up, where? Far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Heavens. Notice, look back in chapter 2. Look back in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Resurrected, quickened, made alive, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where? Heavenly places. Heaven. You see, Paul said, we have obtained an inheritance in this. Judging from what we've read in the book of Ephesians, with the context being the purpose of God and him bringing all things together in heaven and earth, and then he says to the Ephesians, I want you to know where your inheritance is, judging from what we've read, where is that inheritance at? Is it on earth? It's not on earth. It's all heavenly. It's the heavens. That we might feel all things. The head of, he says, put all things far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. You see, this is the inheritance that we have. It's an earth, it's a heavenly inheritance. Go to Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, and we just read about that, seated with him in heavenly places, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Not on things on the earth. Well, that kingdom that's going to be established over here, the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years, is that going to be on earth? Yeah, it is. Are we to set our affections on that? Is that what we're to be? Is that what we're to love and to look forward? No, that's not what we're looking forward to. That's not where our affections are. Our affections are on things above. That's where our hope is. That's where our inheritance is. It's not this earth. We're in Colossians. Look in Philippians. Turn a couple pages to the left there in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. Notice verse 17. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They're setting their affections on earthly things. Right? For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's going to bring all things in Christ. That's his purpose. In heaven and earth, we're part of that purpose. Our purpose is a heavenly purpose. It's a heavenly, our conversation is in heaven. Ultimately, if you're saved today, this earth is just a temporary dwelling place for you. Your conversation, your citizenship, your life, it's in heaven. It's in the heavens, not on this earth. The question then is, why are we here on earth right now? Why is it just that you, the moment you trust Christ, you're gone? What's the point of us being here right now? What's our purpose now? David was still a shepherd in an earthly sense. He was still a shepherd. He was still under his father's domain on earth, his earthly father's domain. And yet, there was something else that God had already called him to and anointed him to. And he responded on earth, even though in his situation he was just a shepherd boy, he responded as the king of Israel. We're on earth with a purpose. We have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We're seated together with him in heavenly places, and yet here we are physically still in a body of flesh, still wrapped up in a world that's evil. And why? What's the cause? What's the purpose? And I want to look at that, and I'm not going to have time to do much more today, but we're going to continue it, Lord willing, next week. But the thing is that we're here because, first off, because we're his possession. Notice back in Ephesians. Looking back in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. Notice, remember we read in Philippians 3 and it said, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? When we get a new body, then we will have the ability to realize those spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But we don't have that yet. But notice in Ephesians here, chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We get the Holy Spirit when we trust Christ, believe on him for salvation. We get the Holy Spirit of promise. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That's the down payment, that's the assurance of that inheritance. The inheritance, the heavenly inheritance. You know what? I may go back there next week. I don't have time today, but David was anointed king before he met Goliath. He had an earnest of that inheritance, of that coming to fruition. We get the Holy Spirit as an earnest. We can't see it. We can't experience it. All we can do is have the Holy Spirit. When we read our Bible, the Holy Spirit teaches us and shows us this inheritance. If you believe your Bible and you rightly divide the word of truth. But notice this, which is the earnest, verse 14, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Turn over to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to finish up here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are on earth because first off, that's where God, that, because we're His possession, and this is where He wants us. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, earthly body, and your spirit, your earthly spirit, which are God's. We are God's possession. He bought us. He paid for us. He paid a dear price for you. And we should live our life in that mindset. We should live our life and we are not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, you should glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That should be something, that should be our desire. We're here on earth. Well, what does He want us? Why does He want us here on earth? He wants us to glorify Him on earth. Paul just told us what He wants. He said, therefore, for you are bought with a price, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, Lord willing, next week I want to go into more detail. How do we glorify God? What is it, exactly the purpose that we're here? What's the cause? What are we here for? What's the reason? What's the purpose? Okay? All right, I'll stop there. You can take a break.